I went over to the school, the classroom part over here of your parish buildings, where the high schoolers were having their first confirmation retreat. And this is and the emphasis was baptism. And that makes sense to me, because I call baptism, like penance, sort of, or I should say confirmation as well as penance, sort of a echo of baptism itself. But the baptism itself should not be forgotten, not be thought of something that happened long ago. Most of us were infants, didn't even realize anything more than water was being poured on our head. But for the early Christians, it was much, much different. But part of their retreat, the teens broke up into three different groups, and they drew pictures of a church. And they had different ways of portraying the churches. And what I was happy to see in all of them is that when they had the church building, they also had people outside of it, knowing that that the building itself, the church, really represented and is symbolic of the people inside. That is why things like handicap ramps and are very important, because if people can't get into the church, then the church fails into representing who the church is all about. So that was done, but what was also, they noted many of the ways that they portrayed the church, but one part of the church building that they had on each of the drawings was that they all had a door, doors in the front. Didn't mention it, but I told them a story last night at Mass. I told them a story of when I was in the service. I had a chance to go to my whole Air Force base, Air Base, which was in Frankfurt, Germany. It seemed like the whole base traveled from Frankfurt, Germany, down to Pisa in Italy. And so I got to see, on my off time, I got to see the Leaning Tower of Pisa. But what surprised me about seeing that great leaning bell tower was that it was right next to, and I should have thought of this before, a huge church. Actually, it was a cathedral. And this cathedral was not only huge, but it was old. But it didn't look that old. It probably was begun in construction maybe 900 years before. But it was all had white stone on the outside, and it still had that newness look to it. And similar to our cathedral that's here in town, it was, the floor plan was cross-shaped, and above this, where it crossed horizontally and vertically, was also, they had this huge dome overhead, larger than the one in Altoona. But what was large about that and beautiful about that was in front of the church, opposite of the bell tower, what was in front of the church was this huge dome building. And it was nothing but a dome. It was ornate, but it was there. And has anybody here been to Pisa, Italy, by chance? I had one person last night who was there. And this beautiful building, which was open to the public, I went inside, and right in the middle of it was a pool. It was a pool that had steps in it. You would step down, and it would be just a little bit over your head. And you'd come out, and in the center of the pool, it was a dark bronze statue of John the Baptist. So that building itself, that dome, was known as the baptistry. And it was lined up, particularly with the front doors of the church. And the symbolism of it was clear. In order to enter into the church, you enter the church through baptism. And in doing so, what we find is that with those doors of the church that were drawn, as I pointed out last night, to these young people who came to Mass, I pointed out that the door is really a threshold, and you enter that threshold. And to them, what I had them think about for a little bit, and you probably can recall this itself, is that I asked them, do you remember the first day you walked into the high school building as a high schooler? Do you remember that day? And I don't remember the exact moment, but what I do remember was which door I would have entered into. Crossing that threshold, I entered into a new life back then. We did, who entered high school, and life hasn't been the same since. And even though we didn't experience, most of us didn't experience our baptism, and I'm sure there's a few here who have, that even then, your life is changed. And why is that? Well, you enter into the life where you judge whether or not you are going to face evil and do good, or you may try to ignore it by not being baptized and see what would happen. But life has changed. Sin is conquered. We are the victorious because of Jesus Christ. And so what happens, what I also tried to remind the children last night, that each of us, whenever we walk into a Catholic church, and some other churches do this as well, you have this holy water font. And we are taught to make the sign of the cross. We bless ourselves. And all blessings are good. On the other hand, is that all that it represents? It really is supposed to be there to remind us of our baptism. So in a sense, what I told the youngsters later on, and they probably knew this through other teachings, is that the earliest Christians, the vast majority of them, the first few generations, they were adults, and they were baptized wholly into the baptism water, down and up again. And St. Paul makes reference to baptism, and without using the word water, he didn't need to, but he told people that they were baptized into the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so I had a little prayer that I said for a while there. I'm sure I got it from someplace else, but I would pray coming into the church. When reminded, I would bless myself and I'd say, Lord, may I die with you. Lord, may I rise with you. But in the earliest Christians, not only was the ceremony dramatic, but it had a dramatic life upon the early Christians. As soon as Christianity was clearly separated from Judaism, that because Judaism finally said, no, the Messiah did not come back again. Therefore, if you say Jesus is the Messiah, you're not Jewish, okay? And when that decision was made, Christianity was exposed to the Romans. The Romans did not tolerate new religions. They thought if you had a religion, it had to come from of old. And that was easy to do since they believed in many, many gods. But to have a new god come about, they didn't recognize that at all. And hence, they started persecuting the Christians. And what we find here is that when someone was baptized, they themselves being baptized into Christ, they began a life that they put their life on the line, a life that they didn't lose, and oftentimes they did. And with that dramatic effect, we come to know that the Greek word, which is also the language of the New Testament, the Greek word for martyr, martyros, means literally a witness. So these people being baptized and martyred, they were witnesses to Jesus Christ. They believed in him so much that they would die for him. That was a witness. And that brought about more people to say, maybe there is something about this Christianity, when in their own time, the Greek gods, which received Roman names later on, that religion was just simply falling apart. And hence what was there was this new religion, and this religion of love. But my last lesson suggestion to these students was that when they themselves had this retreat, I said they didn't have to remember everything I said, but I said pick what you was most important to you, what struck you the most, and then not only try to remember it, but ask yourself this question: what will you one day teach your children about the faith? Is it powerful? Is it going to take hold? Is it there? And then I ended the sermon, as I am now, by asking everybody to stand to renew their baptismal promises.